Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kawula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello.
Nice job on the fade.
That was a nice fade.
Dude.
That was a nice fade.
That was a poetic fade. Sweet.
Welcome to Wake Up Hollywood.
How are you, Eddie?
Good. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm good, actually.
Better?
Last week was a good therapeutic session to actually talk about Zayn and all that. But today I'm back on my feet, man. Ready to laugh. Ready
good.
To shoot the shit.
Good to hear.
I actually want to talk about Sundance, man. I didn't tell you about all the fun I had at Sundance before Zayn passed away.
Orgies, stuff like that?
Nothing like that.
People
well,
feeding you
maybe
grapes.
From one of my band members who will remain nameless. But yeah, man, we played something like, I played two solo acoustic shows, two full band shows, a radio show, and a TV show. And then also just saw 9 movies. There's a great movie called Listen to Me, Marlon, that's coming out. It's a documentary about Marlon Brando. You got to see it.
Oh, wow.
It is unbelievable. It's a whole documentary on Marlon Brando told, like the narrative is done by recordings of Marlon Brando that he made in his house.
Oh, really?
All about his life. Who? And it's really odd because...
So he just talked about himself?
Yeah.
It was and recorded
so,
it?
Dude, that's what's crazy.
God,
and he was such a private person.
To have that ego.
Dude, you know what, though? Amazing. It was almost like... He didn't want to let anybody in, and he knew that his life was somewhat fascinating.
He knew how great he was.
People
are going to know about how great I was.
But he had a troubled life. I mean, he had a lot of demons, and his kids got all fucked up, and kind of a rocky road. I saw another movie called Dope that's coming out. That was pretty awesome. I saw a Spike Lee produced movie that was pretty amazing. The parties were awesome, dude.
Yeah. I mean,
dude, Sundance is like, that's one of my favorite gigs of the year. Because it's just like nonstop entertainment.
Are there a lot of bands up there playing?
There were tons, actually. Michael Franti and Spearhead did a show.
Is it becoming a music festival, too, at the same
time? It's kind of becoming a music festival, which is tight. I mean, yeah. I like it because, you know, you get to rub shoulders with directors. Like, there's some director that wants to use a bunch of my music for an upcoming movie. And
that's awesome.
His short just got fucking bought. So, you know, it's just like, it's cool. Like, you network.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But... Dude, we usually only play one full band show, and this year they had us back to do two. And man, the coolest part was right before we went on, there was, you know, they throw parties. So,
yeah.
Like, the first night, I think, was a winery that threw the party. And it was for the Kurt Cobain documentary that I heard mixed reviews about it. It's going to be on HBO in like a month, so
yeah.
I didn't make that a priority. But. So we played, right before we played, you know, the guy who owns the winery, he's like, hey, man, I want to introduce you to this DJ. He's going to be playing before you and kind of playing after you. I'm like, cool. So he and I started talking. I'm like, yo, man, you scratch? He's like, yeah, man, I can scratch. And I was like, scratch me right now. And he gets up and he just starts, you know, while we're sound checking. And he's just a fucking badass. Like, it was insane. So I was like, man, you got to sit in with us. He's like, man, I'd love to. And so we had him sit in on like 7 or 8 tracks. And, dude, it was so off the chain. Like, every band member, you could just see their heads turning, like, holy shit. Because he was soloing.
What was he doing?
He was scratching, like, on turntables. And his ear
on
was so
music?
Good.
On your music?
Yeah. And then his ear was so good.
I'm trying
good,
to picture that.
I know. It was, for us, it was, like, I've always wanted that because I'm a big Sublime fan. You know,
yeah.
Like, that's one of my favorite bands. And his ear was so good, like, during songs, he'd be listening to the key and play a record that was in the same key. And he'd scratch using that. And, dude, it was crazy because, like, we'd do, like, you know, on-the-fly breakdowns with my drummer, and they'd be trading solos, like drums, into the turntable. So he's going to probably start playing some festivals with us. I'm getting involved with him on a side project, too. And it was just amazing, man.
That's
so
awesome.
The second, and every night, like, our shows were all sold out. It was all packed.
Are you doing, are they like bar shows? Are they, what, are
yeah,
they theaters?
The two band they? Shows are, they're actually at a theater, like a, you know, like a music venue, like
okay.
An LA music venue. And the crazy thing is they're just packed. There's so many people into this little city that every place is just packed with people.
That's awesome.
So all the shows are packed. I played – the two acoustic shows were actually at a venue that's only up for Sundance. Like they put a tent up and it – It's got all these like crazy black lights and visuals and crazy things, and they pack the venue too. And you know, I've got it kind of dialed in now with the TV show and radio show. So it was fun, man. Tons of great movies. You got to see this movie called Cronies. I think you dig.
That's cool.
I saw a movie that I thought you would dig, and I thought I would dig. It was about a comedian.
Is it porn?
No, it was about like a stand-up comedian. And it was terrible, dude. I don't even want to name the movie, but it was one of the I saw my first Lemon after 3 years at Sundance. It was bad. But you know what? At least like independent storytellers get another voice heard. And
that's good.
We're going to have to do our show next year from Sundance.
That would be fun.
Let's make that a promise.
I'm going to put that all on you. Make that happen.
I'll make it happen. Dude, you know what? I actually talked to one of the radio shows. I'm like,
I've got zero connections with Sundance.
Well, I'll make it happen. But, dude, check out that movie, Listen to Me, Marlon. Check out the movie called Dope. You'll like those movies.
Cool. Back in September, I did summer school.
Yeah, dude, I saw your pictures. All right, go ahead and tell the story.
Back in September, I did a staged version. My friend of mine, Patrick O'Sullivan, he's been a guest on the show back when we were on the other network, and he put it together. He adapted the 1987 Mark Harmon film Summer School for the stage, and I played the character of Dave from Chainsaw and Dave, and we did it again this weekend.
And Chainsaw showed up, right?
The real Chainsaw
showed
up.
Yeah, the real Chainsaw. I saw the picture.
Larry the Stripper. Dude, the guy that played Larry the Stripper showed up.
That is so badass.
The woman that played Anna Maria, also, she was also a lot of vagina in Austin Powers. She showed up to watch it. The writer came two times. They loved it.
That is amazing. I saw that, and like I was like, Eddie's really smiling. Dude, he must be really
freaking the real Chainsaw.
Dude, honestly, like,
I loved that movie when I was a kid.
Did you get to talk to him? Did you chat with him? They
thought it was great because we didn't. I think they were all a little worried we were gonna make fun of it.
Right. But we paid tribute.
Like we.
It's a great movie.
It's just so fun. It's like a classic. It had such an influence on my childhood and like several other people in the cast. That's why we did the show to begin with. And they loved it. Oh, this is great. I mean, you guys like didn't make fun of it. You like loved it. Oh, we have somebody calling.
Oh shit.
I'll call her. I'm gonna answer.
Oh. Who's this?
Hello. Welcome. You're on Wake Up Hollywood.
Hey, who's this? This is Joe Zygon over here in New York.
What's up, Joe? How are you, man?
Is this Nikki?
This is Nikki. This is Nikki and Eddie. What's going on?
No, brother. I'm trying to log on, and I can't get on the dang deal.
Well, dude, you just called in.
I'm like, how come I can't get on the show?
Can you not hear the show?
I hit the talk button. Here we go. I got wake up. I see your face. I see your face. I see Eddie's face.
Yeah, we're on channel 2, so just log on and you hang out and listen, man.
Yeah, y'all are staring at me, but I can't get you on the freaking radio on the computer.
You're on the show, man. Oh. Your son would be proud. Your whole family would be proud.
You've made it.
You made it. You're in the club, man. You're in the club. You made it.
I just want to give a shout out and give you my condolences to Zane and everybody that's in the NK band and who he's lives he's touched. You know, I know it's
Joe. You've been super supportive, man, on Facebook. I've seen all your comments, man. I really appreciate that. It means a lot to me.
Yeah. It's who knows? You know, there is no. Oh, it's tomorrow. Guess what? There isn't.
Yeah, there's no guarantee, man. I definitely have learned that in the last week.
Freaking heartbeat done.
That's
right. Oh God.
That's right. But you know what? It's people like yourself that
post everything to, and I'm like, oh my God, this poor kid is going through.
I know. It's been pretty rough. But it's people like yourself that kind of bring the light out of the darkness. I guess you can say. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, it's the only people left suffering now are the ones you left behind.
Yeah, you know? Man. Dude, that's so awesome that you called in, dude. Yeah. Well, now you got to listen to the show. I got a great musical guest you got to listen to.
Now you're in line to be a guest host.
Am I on the radio? Yeah.
You're on the radio. You're on the show. You're on the show recording.
If you call in, you can be a guest host.
Hello, LA. What's happening? It's going to be snowing again here in New York.
That's what happens.
Dude, oh, it's late over there, man. I love it. You're up late. You're like, I got to say what's up to Los Angeles. That's dope.
I was like, you know what? I saw you post. I was like, I'm figuring out what time it is. Like, oh, yeah, 3 hours. All right, I'll hit him up now.
Dude, that is awesome. So Joe, you're the best, man. I really appreciate all your support, man. Honestly, it means a lot to me. And thanks for calling in, man.
It's a tough time. So So what's going on, brother? You gonna come out? What's happening? You want to get to? What about looking into maybe doing something over at the Gathering of the Vibes?
Dude, I'm trying to get over to New York. I'm waiting for the weather to pass, man. I'm an LA boy, so I'm like, wait, I'm soaking in the sun, man.
I feel like we're phone tapping right now. Like, I feel like we're spying on the conversation between Joe and Nikhil.
Well, right on, Joe. I got to bring up my next guest, our musical guest. But, dude, we'll definitely keep in touch via Facebook. And thanks again for calling in and showing your love and support, man.
All right. Peace to everybody in L.A.
Yeah, man.
Over and out.
Thanks, Joe.
Cheers. All right.
That was awesome.
Dude, and I think our musical guest has arrived.
What? There's so much happening.
What's up, boys?
I know, dude, how are you? Kelly James, say hello.
How's it going, world? Well, LA Talk Radio.
Is the stogie during the show or after? Is that your post-stogie, post-show stogie?
See, you know, sometimes you have like one of those stressful days up early. You know, I got a six-month-old crying in the morning, just wants to play with mommy and daddy. And you have a long day, and sometimes you just gotta take the edge off. So I like to chew it for a while, and then I make a decision later in the night if I'm going to actually light it up.
You like
it's a process.
Light it up, I say. Yeah. Light it up.
Actually, that sound usually signifies how I feel the next morning after I smoke a cigar at midnight.
Actually, my brother loves cigars. Like, he is like way into them. I'm like, I can't do anything that you can't inhale. It's like, it's weird. It's like, it's a different thing.
It's a whole different beast. I mean,
it is a different beast. But when you must be into it, like my brother's into it, because like
I'm like
he loves them.
When you do the singing thing, as you very well know, you got to protect the voice.
Yeah.
And so I try to limit myself to around like maybe one or two max a month. It's usually a golf thing, maybe. Or
isn't a cigar like a 4-hour commitment? Like, isn't
those things burn
like a big commitment, right?
It's a huge commitment, and you smell horrible.
Yeah, it's like
after.
I'm doing something.
It's like your breath is. You can't talk to anybody after. I mean, your clothes smell. Yeah. You have to go.
Have to have a clear schedule to do a cigar. Yeah. It's like it's not.
It's
a
almost
cigarette.
Like heroin, but like it's like one.
It's
step.
Like this is going to affect the next several hours of my day if I smoke the cigar right now.
It really is. The clothes thing is the brutal part because I have this jacket on. And I got the jacket's done.
Oh yeah.
Well, what does the wifey say? She's like, "What are you?"
That's
doing?
Why I smoke them at midnight when she's asleep.
She's like, "Why do you smell like a trash can?"
Yeah. I definitely get no loving in the morning. Put it that way.
Yeah, your breath has to be rank.
Oh,
even if you brush
a 6-month old, you don't want any loving anyway.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And
you're
just
like, oh,
trying to get
that causes
sleep.
This.
Sleep is your new loving.
And my thing is like, you know, it's either that or a couple cocktails. Might as well change it up once in a while. It's really only when the days become a little.
Is that your moment? Is that your moment you were like, dude, I can just take time to just chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
Not
I mean,
give a damn.
Because again, if you know, I don't smoke cigarettes or do anything like that. So you do just by chewing it, you get this like little tobacco kind of high.
Right.
Like we were driving up here from Santa Monica today and you know, in the car, I was like, I just need to chew on this thing for a minute. Within like 3 minutes, I was
chew
like,
on a cigar.
It's weird. It's weird. You know, it's either that or, you know, huff paint. I don't know.
One of the two.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad you chose the cigar tonight.
Yeah, sniff and glue.
You guys have any cleaning products here? Because some Comet would be really great to put up my nose.
That's a whole nother generation and a whole nother talk show altogether. Kelly, you are originally from San Diego?
I grew up, I spent a lot of time in San Diego. It's actually my goal, but I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, a little small town called Los Altos.
Okay.
And then, you know, came down to LA and went to your alma mater.
That's right, USC, man.
Fight on, Trojans.
Except you were there when they started winning. I was there when we sucked ass.
We had a run, man. That was just
that was a good run.
Unbelievable time to be a college football fan at a school. So, yeah, early 2000s, shout out to Pete Carroll.
Yeah,
should have given it to Marshawn.
I saw Pete Carroll at one of your gigs.
Yeah, he used to come out when I was at SC. And he's a great piano player. And,
really?
Yep. You guys know. You know. You guys know a lot of musicians, and there is a fine line between those that are very, very, very trained and that learned it, and then the ones that kind of just picked it up and feel it.
Right.
He plays completely by ear. Wouldn't know a G chord if it hit him in the face, but he could jam to any song you threw down.
That is crazy.
And it's really a kind of a cool thing to see. So he's a real good piano player, and he's got just such good vibes in general. I mean, you know, you guys have obviously seen. Obviously, we got a Redskins fan over here.
If I didn't hate the Seahawks, I wouldn't mind Pete Carroll.
Yeah,
he must have loved the Super Bowl then.
Well, I hate the Patriots too. So it was like I've never been more apathetic about a Super Bowl. people.
He's just angry because Robert Griffin III could be one of the biggest busts.
It's very
ever.
Sad. It's very.
I mean,
sad.
Honestly, the Redskins can't catch a break in general. I know this probably isn't a sports show, but
no, that's okay. We talk sports. We talk it all. We talk it all here.
Well, I'm a huge Shanahan fan, and I think that you know again the Redskins can't catch a break. They just can't.
There's hope. There's hope in the future. Maybe
not with Jay Gruden. There's no hope.
you guys got a rough road.
But you know, Eddie wears his Redskins sweatshirt with pride. I mean,
not a Fairweather fan.
That's what I love. That's what I love. I do love that.
I respect anybody that wears their team's swag when their team is horrible. Because I was a Warriors guy for 29 years, and now it is finally time to be a Warriors
fan. People are like, oh, you're a Warriors fan now? No!
Yeah.
I'm not. I've been one forever.
Yeah, been one forever.
I wore one of my Lakers shirts the other day, and it was just kind of like another Laker fan was like, dude, rough. And I'm like, yeah, it's rough.
To that point, though, in L.A. especially, everybody wears Lakers all the time. You don't see a goddamn Lakers shirt anywhere right now. You see no hats. Nothing. You see no Kobe jerseys.
That shows you how fair weather the fans are. It's sad. It's the worst.
Well, when we start winning, you'll start to see them all. You'll see all the flags.
That's ridiculous.
So you grew up in San Francisco. How'd you get into music?
Man, I played guitar. I started when I was like 12. You know, standard kind of like started my writing my own songs. But all my buddies, we played sports. So I went to SC. I majored in business there. It wasn't really like, it wasn't a focus.
Awful. How did you do that?
I mean, it's so crazy. Boring. I know it was because I like music so much and it was something I wanted to do. I just didn't know it was a possibility. And was in a fraternity, started playing private shows at sorority houses up and down California. Graduated college, had interned at Epic Records.
They call them private shows?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they call them?
There's a couple different meanings to that. The pre-party and the after-party.
It makes the after-party real easy. Yeah. We'll just stay here.
Yeah. It's good to know the code words. Yeah,
80 of you and one of me? Great. So created that tour, and then, you know, just, you know, there you go.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on.
And then tears. Do you have a tears sound in there?
I have to look.
All me.
It's a lot of waking up and going, God damn it.
You should have used your "I'm here for the gangbang." That would have been a good use of that.
I'm here for the gangbang.
A little late, but hey, we'll let you in. We'll let you into the party. So you went up and down the coast.
Up and down the coast.
You were playing sorority parties.
Sorority houses, fraternity parties. And then I created this tour called the Fraternity and Sorority Tour. Was doing 170 shows across the nation for about 4 or 5 years. Got tour sponsored by Oakley, a bunch of different brands that were really willing to support independent music. Red Bull being one. Honda was one.
That's awesome.
And just kind of created everything out of that, stayed independent, have my own label, and played 130 shows last year. Got a lot of brand partnerships again.
So you never had sleep, so you can't complain now.
That is true, but I was doing a lot more fun things back then than I am now.
Sounds like your 20s.
Cleaning bottles and changing diapers.
Exactly.
How old are you, by the way?
I'm 31.
Okay, so that's like, you know, you enter your 30s, and it's like, oh, my 20s were so much fun.
Yeah.
My 20s were reckless.
That's
crazy.
Why you don't have kids in your 20s. You wait till your 30s to have the kids.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, you're a smart man, Kelly. That's a good thing.
I tried to plan it out right.
So you've been touring. You were touring all over. Did you tour the band? Did you tour acoustic?
Yeah. Back then, it was a combination of both. You know, the sorority stuff was solo acoustic. You know, you don't want any competition. you know what I'm saying?
Not for the sorority parties.
Yeah.
You were a lone wolf. Yeah. Just you and the women.
That's what it was all about. That was the name of the game then. But yeah, now it's a lot of the full band stuff. We travel all over, a bunch of different shows. Play a lot of stuff on the PGA Tour, crazy enough.
Oh, yeah.
Are you
a big golfer? Are you into golf?
I'm very into golf. I'm not the best golfer on the planet, but I can swing a club. And yeah, I mean, for me, it's just a whole different demographic of fans. You know, they're sports fans, but they really are music fans. And these golf tournaments really have turned into some pretty fun parties, kind of like what you were talking about, Sundance, sort of morphing into something else.
Hang on, a golf course drinking all day. How boring can that be?
Well, I got to ask, like, after you play a song, are they just like, golf clap?
Yeah, you would think, right? Like, you would think.
Are they rowdy? Just like,
And to your point, people are on a golf course all day long slamming beers in the sun by 8 o'clock at night when it's time for a show.
Fucking lit.
Exactly. It's go time. You know?
Let's do this.
It's kind of like it's like a parking lot after a Redskins.
So what do you play?
Loss.
You play on the golf courses?
Yeah, just different parts. I mean, you know, last two Fridays ago we opened for Kid Rock out in Phoenix at the Phoenix Open. We go up to Pebble Beach this Friday. We've got two shows Friday, Saturday.
So you were there Super Bowl weekend. You played.
I had five shows out there during the Super Bowl. It was mental. I mean,
that's crazy.
Yeah, a little too much, to be honest with you. Went a little.
Yeah, there's a fine line. Like I've found, like, it's like you can perform. It's either you don't perform enough or you perform way too much. It's never like that balance. I don't know. That's how I'm trying to still find that balance at 36. It ain't working too well.
It's kind of like booze. You know, one cocktail or 12.
Yes.
There is no in between.
No, I mean, I honestly, do you feel like that, Eddie?
Who has three and
a half?
I feel like I never pour enough, so.
So you've never done too many shows where you've been like, dude, that was too much.
No.
Oh, well, I'm gonna start booking you obnoxious little clubs in the Mojave Desert.
Stand-up takes a lot less energy than
Yeah, but music. Still, if you're doing like 10 shows in like 2 or 3 days...
You just get burnt out. Like
it's
you just,
too much.
You can't.
It's
you
too
can't.
Much.
You can't get to that ultimate level that you know you could have got, or that you got to on show one. Now it's show five, or show six, seven, whatever the run is.
And you're still trying.
I find with stand up, the more you do it, because like with music, I'm not saying you're married to your songs, but you're doing your songs.
Mm-hmm.
Like with stand up, like if you're doing like 10 shows in 4 days or 3 days with stand up, it's like by that 10th show, you're like doing shit you didn't even think. What are you fucking doing? Why would you?
Doesn't even make sense.
You're doing things you're not even thinking about. Like you didn't even think about 2 days ago because you're just like you're so bored with what you were doing. It's like
so you're riffing.
You're
like,
riffing with the crowd. You're just thinking of new. Like I mean, it's just, you're making up new things. You're improvising. It's just like it's. I think it's different. It's a little bit different. I guess.
Yeah, but again, you know, when you're playing 90-minute sets, it's
yeah, I mean, you're doing 90-minute sets. I mean, yeah, I could see where you'd be like, "Fuck this. Yeah. This is
you comics well, dude, in your easy that. Life of comics, 8.5 minutes.
45 minutes. Well, on the road, you're doing 45,
and you got no gear. That's like
you got no gear. You have
no
microphone.
Gears. That's key.
No sound check, which is huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I mean, that commitment to be a musician, and you know, for those of music fans out there, when you see a band live, there's a lot that goes into it, especially for the road crew.
Oh
I mean,
God,
those people that set up, that's unbelievable. But even the musicians, you're there at 4 p.m. and you don't play till 10.
Comic
there.
Shows are 5 minutes late for the show.
I know. You have an easy career and a very difficult
I wasn't assigned the job. I
know. No, but it's also difficult too. Like you have to always be on to be
well,
on.
It's always you. You can't like, well, my fucking guitar player fucked up this show.
Well, like, you know, I definitely noticed, you know,
all on me.
Like my band, we've been talking about Zane's passing and like he was always on. And like not all of us are always on. Like it's nice to be like, okay, he's gonna take a sax solo, he's gonna take a guitar solo, yeah. I can just like riff or groove for a minute, you know, and just you kind of soak in the kind of the moment. But
I would say to that point, the bombs on the comic side are far greater than
you
could ever bomb on the music side.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's very
true. Worst comes to worst, and we've all had these shows as musicians. There's just times where, for whatever reason, could be a venue, could be a corporate thing, right? Where you just don't connect with an audience or the vibe isn't there.
Yeah.
And then you start playing for yourself, and sometimes those are the best shows. But again, you just start ripping solos, and you're like, screw you guys, I'm going to have fun playing guitar. Yeah. Where you're not a comic being like, great, I got 90 minutes just to dick around on a, you know, boy, getting, are my wings tired.
If you're getting nothing back from the audience as a comic, you're like, fuck.
But that's sometimes,
at least with a musician, you can just like lose yourself in your song.
No, but see, it's still a dialogue. It's still a dialogue.
But it's not as harsh
as the same dialogue.
It's not the same dialogue. Not nowhere. Not even close. But it's still,
you can play guitar by yourself in a room alone.
That's true.
And love it. You can't tell jokes in a room alone.
You're not just sitting there for an hour looking at the wall being like,
yeah, you're insane at that point. You're a crazy person doing something.
Well, let's get to one of your songs, Kelly. What are you going to play for us first?
Man, I don't know. I'm kind of looking at this LA talk radio, so maybe I'm going to do a song called California.
All right.
Just shout out to
Kelly James, California.
Yeah.
Shout out to who?
Shout out to the Cali kids out there. Anybody that's born and raised in California, and anybody that's sitting in 27-degree weather right now. It was 72 degrees here today, and definitely had the AC on all day, not to make y'all jealous, but it's a real thing. It's a real, real thing. It's called California. California, you got me running back again, yeah. In California, it feels like my only friend will. California, got me running back again, yeah. In California, you got me running back again. You got me running back again. I wanna go to Tahoe. Summertime, 4th of July, fireworks on a speedboat. I run a big, slow, fresh powder, modest camp with Bonza boys and a little bit of Casamigos. And I know if you took me down south, I would stay surfing waves every day in San Diego. Then we go up to LA studio, then dinner with Ronnie and Zito at Madeo. They always try to take me away, but my heart and love will always stay. Yeah, in California, you got me running back again. Yeah, in California, it feels like my only friend will. California, you
got me running back again, yeah, in California. You got me running back again. You got me running back again. On a warm fall day, Santa Barbara's where you find me. I had to get an IV after nights in Ivy. I love the smell of NorCal, nicer than the pine trees. Some county in the sky, like I was a chimney. If it gets windy out in Pebble Beach, we sit by the fire, Spanish Bay, and try to teach our girls about whiskey. But they just go and reach for mixed drinks. I nerd out on pee like my name was Speaks. And they always try to take me away. But my heart and love will always stay. Yeah. In California, you got me running back again, yeah. In California, it feels like my only friend will. In California, you got me running back again, yeah. In California, you got me running back again. You got me running back again. It's California, no side about it. California love, no side about it. In the city, city of Sherman Oaks. In the city, Sherman Oaks with LA Talk Radio. Pac set out on bail for shattered jail, California dreaming. Soon as I step on the scene, I'm hearing Uzi screaming. Feeding for money and alcohol, the life of a West Side player with cowards die. It's all bar. Only in Cali where we ride, not ready to live and die. In LA, we wear chucks, not valleys, that's right. Just in lokes and khaki suits, ride is what we do. Lost in Bird Ave Caution, we collide with other crews. Sing this cause we program a worldwide and recognize some Long Beach to Rosecrans. Bumping and grinding like a slow jam. West Side, so you know the road won't bow down for no man. Say what you say, give me that bomb beat from Dre. Let me serenade the streets of LA. From Oakland to Sac Town, Bay Area and back down. Cali is where they put their Mac down. And they always try to take me away. But my heart and love will always stay. Yeah, in California. You got me running back again, yeah. In California, it feels like my only friend will. In California, you got me running back again, yeah. In California, you got me running back again. You got me running back again. You got me running back again.
Yeah, our studio audience loved it. Oh, it's an applause off. Yeah,
double applause.
Mine's bigger and longer, and there's more people.
That's not what you said. Oh, that's 2 weeks in a row.
No, good for you.
You see that? That's and good. I had a defender too.
That's good luck.
You did have someone playing up. They are sitting in the paint though.
Well. Dude, look at you talking fucking...
B-ball?
Yeah, I love it, dude. Next, you're going to be wearing a Lakers jersey.
Go Wizards.
Soon. Kelly, that was awesome, man. Thank you. Influenced that song?
Man, you know, for me,
I'd like to shout out to LA Talk Radio. You hear that shit?
There you go.
Yeah, we're in the lyrics. We're in the liner notes.
Got a shout out. Well, I wrote that song 3 years ago before you guys even existed.
See? Dude, that's a prophecy right there.
You know, for me, it's like the style... It's kind of that California style, you know. I mean, I guess it's, you know, sort of obvious, but it's, you know, you were talking about Sublime earlier, and it's that combination of, you know, rock music, I guess, mixed with a little pop. But hip hop was such a big influence. I mean, all up and down California, starting early 90s. I mean, you had the whole LA scene, but what, you know, a lot of people don't know that maybe aren't, you know, hardcore rap fans is East Bay Area had a crazy hip hop scene, still does.
Right.
And so, you know, growing up in the Bay Area, LA bled into the radio there, but you had this East Bay hip hop scene that was, you know, influencing hip hop just as much as LA was in California.
Well, let's talk about influences real quick. So, like, you got into hip hop. Who were some of your major influences hip hop wise?
You know, it was definitely like, it was sort of a smattering of a bunch of different influences.
Smattering, I like that.
I went to SC, dude. You know,
I know, I've never heard that very often.
But yeah, I would say, I mean, you know, you got to go with Pac, you got to go with Biggie, just because those are the obvious ones. Jay-Z, you know, mid-90s was, you know, doing stuff that was different. You know, I didn't really get into Nas until probably later on. You know, I wasn't
he's
on.
Shit.
Yeah, I wasn't in. I didn't buy Illmatic, you know, when it came out. It sort of popped on me later. Just kind of that East Coast vibe was a later thing for me. I was a huge Bone Thugs fan, crazy enough.
Yeah.
You know, and they were doing something that I felt nobody else was really doing with those melodic raps. So I would say somewhere in that vein. You know, again, LA, obviously, I have Snoop and, you know, that whole scene. But it was probably just a combination of that. And I think it was more of just the general genre itself. Just, right. Again, like I said, bleeding into radio, where I just thought it was normal pop music. I didn't know it was this culture-shifting almost phenomenon to an extent that really has had, like, this global effect. I just thought it was the music that was on the radio that I liked. So I think it was a little bit of everybody. I mean, you could probably, you know, point out a million artists that were on the radio then, like a yep. bunch of rappers that nobody's heard of since, you know.
Which is a shame because hip-hop is such a vibrant art form, and it's kind of like, it's not dying, but there needs to be some new voices that really carry the torch, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of guys right now. I mean, Kendrick Lamar.
I was just about to say,
J. Kendrick Cole. Lamar, yeah. I mean, I'm a Big Sean guy. I think Big Sean's great. There's a lot of dudes out there. There's this right. dude, Yellow Wolf, that, you know, at first I wasn't really, you know, like, into it just because I, you know, I was like, oh, is this Eminem? Is it not? But he's got a couple
of. You know Pharrell Monch?
Mm-mm.
See, Pharrell Monch is, like, under the radar, and he's, like, one of the best out there that I know. I talk to rappers about him. They're like, dude, he's, like, such a huge influence on me. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't get in the limelight, which yeah. sucks. But
there's a lot of MCs, there is some talent.
Yeah. Kendrick Lamar, I think, is one of the best yeah. in the new era.
There's a guy from San Diego named Chris Young. We've done some shows with him back in the day. He's another one of those unsung heroes. There's no way you wouldn't, you know, heard of him. But
you've done some shows with Lil Jon.
I've done some shows with a crazy amount of people. Done a lot of
when
shows
he talks, he's just like, "What's up, Kelly?" Or he's like, "Hey, so
the craziest thing is that he might be one of the more intelligent people in the music industry. You know, he has recreated his brand. Is there a shocking noise you're going to play right now?
Dude, right now, honestly, I'm just going to... That's it, I'm done.
Just the Glock sound? He really is. I mean, the guy, he used to be an A&R at So Def in Atlanta. I mean, he produces. He's a DJ. He's, you know, songwriter. He's had
smart
hits.
Businessman for
smart.
Sure.
Smart, and he knows branding. That's the thing. Yeah, you know what yeah. I mean? He created crunk. Crunk was just a slang word they used in the South when he was growing up, and he created this genre called crunk music that he just branded it himself, and it right. became something. It was real for 4 or 5 years, and then he completely reinvented himself as a DJ. So hanging out with him, you know, you'd be shocked once he takes off the glasses and he's just sitting there hanging out. You know, he likes wine. He had a wine label for a very long time. It's so crazy.
Do you ever talk about the Dave Chappelle shit? Because I mean, that kind of, you know, that's some funny shit.
The worst part for, you know, I think for him is that he's in an airport, and you walk with him, and he can't walk 150 yards in this life without somebody just screaming at him, "Yeah!" Like, it's just, everybody does it. And it's usually some fraternity guy from Auburn or something.
Right.
Or
right.
some, you know, Redskins fan.
That's gotta be annoying. You know, real fast.
Yeah. But, you know, he embraced it, because, I mean, that made him, you know, I don't want to say made him a star. I would say it solidified his place in pop culture.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, he's a brilliant dude, though, but very, very, very cool guy. And, you know, you guys should have him on the show at some point.
Soon. Let's talk about your record real quick. I know yeah. you got a new record coming. When did it come out, actually?
So this one came out. It's been out for about a year. I'm actually working on a new album right now. But, you know, we're still touring on this one and, you know, still getting a lot of love off it. You know, again, doing it independently, as I'm sure you guys have touched on numerous times, it's a different path. The music industry is a crazy place right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ability to, you know, roll down that independent music pass is tough. But it's even tougher to be on a label. I mean, yeah. you know, we can get into the financials of it at some other point. But, you know, for us to kind of be able to do it independently, get some really cool licensing opportunities, and, you know, again, be able to do 130 shows,
right.
you know, backing that is, it's definitely a fortunate circumstance to be
in. Oh, you're definitely a road warrior, man. I love that. That's one of the reasons why I wanted you on the show. It's like, I've always been bringing, like, artists that I know that are out there doing it, and you're one of the artists that are out there doing it. So let's play a track off your record. What's the track you want to play?
Yeah, let's do, because I can't bust this one acoustic. Let's do this. This is a song called "Sucks," and you know, we experimented.
Great name.
Way yeah. to set the bar.
Yeah, you know, because you set their expectations low, and then you give them something even lower. But yeah, no, we experimented with a lot of different sounds. You know, I do have rock roots. Like, you know, I can't deny right. that I grew up with grunge music. It's the same thing as hip hop. You know, I just can't get it out of my system. I love it. So this one is like a little more rock, a little more, you know, high energy for, you know, the more acoustic style that we sometimes bring. So it's called "Sucks."
Cool. Here it goes.
It doesn't feel like I'm in the mood to. It doesn't taste like going as used to. I hate how I'm feeling now. And I don't care if I get used to all the things they say I should do. I hate how
was a child until now. I've been looking around wondering how I could still believe and allow myself to drown. I got used to you in a lucid place, in a perfect time with a certain face. And I'd be lucky if I could ever find a reason not to shut myself down right now. My way through motions, just a person whose emotions are frayed. It shows like a massive stone that I leave alone. On my chest it takes every breath away. And I'd be lucky if I could ever find a reason not to feel so alone. I won't.
Yeah! Oh shit, it's an applause off. Oh shit. Oh, that was very
poetic. I have
poetic.
A stadium full of people.
Dude, you know what? Yours is
it's
very
a stadium.
Your consistent applause.
It's a stadium.
Yours, to be honest, loves Kelly James.
You have
just
12 people in a room with
that's not true. Fan. That's not true. It's more like 50, like. Really
that's,
ardent
that's
fans.
That's not 50.
It almost sounds
it's
like raindrops 50. On a
yeah.
tin roof.
Yeah, it's
with
it's,
a bad EQ.
I'll work on it. I'll
it's
work
small
on it.
And tiny.
Kelly, killer track. It definitely doesn't suck.
Thanks,
I like
brother.
The name.
Thank you.
Tell us why you called it Sucks.
I just wanted a title that you know, we initially was, you know, I was saying when you're not around, but you know, I just feel like a title like Sucks. Like it's just kinda like who names a song Sucks?
Like I might as well do something different.
Yeah.
So tell us about the new record that you're working on and what's going on with that.
Man, so I've been writing for a while. Like I said, you know, the road kind of it's very inspiring in many ways, but also very stifling to creativity. I think that, you know, you lose a lot of hours to really sit and just kind of woodshed and, you know, knock around different ideas.
Yeah.
So I have a bunch of different, you know, things I've been working on the last year or so. This next one, you know, will be my same style. I just live and you have it when you play. It's like kind of like, you know, a dance groove, you
yeah.
know, and we have a couple songs that work, but I like those songs and I like to perform them live. So I think this next record, tempo wise, is going to live more in that danceable
yeah.
tempo.
Yeah.
It'll still have like some reggae elements because we
right.
love that, but
it's tough to like leave to like depart from
yeah.
those elements that are like such influences on you, but
yeah, and so
awesome.
You know, I think it'll be more dance tempo driven. Same thing, you know, I mean, again, my style, you know, won't change drastically. It's not like I'm going after this, you know, oh, it's me and a steel drum and you know, Yoko Ono's sampled voice over what I'm doing.
Let's do that.
But yeah, that's a hit.
Kanye. I don't know if you like that. Neither does our studio audience. Yeah. Yoko Ono on your record. That's taking a real risk.
Yeah. So we're gonna do it. We'll probably start really digging in March. Hopefully, release end of summer.
You recording in L.A.?
Yeah, I have a studio in Santa Monica. We work a lot out of a couple here in Van Nuys, Sherman Oaks, that area, and then Buddy has one in Burbank. So
cool.
Just kind of bounce around. As you guys know, I mean, technology allows you to really do anything.
Yeah, that's the best. See, Eddie doesn't know that.
I don't know anything.
I just need a microphone.
I
don't even need a special microphone.
I need people and a microphone.
I wish that was my life.
It's easy. Easy setup. Easy breezy.
I need, like, unicorns and, you know, 7'2"
bartenders. You guys only need a reaction every 3 or 4 minutes. I need one every 15, 20 seconds.
Well, yeah, that's true. You're, like, all about the audience.
Yeah.
But when you make a record, do you know you're making a record before you're doing it? Like when you do a comedy record?
No.
It
just sort of evolves, and at this point, like, I should record all this. That's kind of how it... I guess you could set out. I guess some comics do set out to, like,
I'm going to do a record today.
I'm going to create an hour this year.
Yeah. Isn't there, like... So I forget who it was, and I'm going to butcher whoever it was, but I want to say it was, like, Chris Rock says it takes him X number of hours to get, like... a core bit.
Oh yeah, I mean,
like he can like clearly be like, it's going to take me like 10 hours of like improv to get like 20 minutes of great content. Has this ratio where he knows I got to do this much time on the road, this much time in front of random audiences, just doing more of like the riff freestyle thing, improv vibe, to get these little nuggets that are going to be the next scene.
It takes hours.
Is that how you are too, Eddie?
Well, it's everyone's different, but it's like it just everyone's creative process is different. It's just different.
But you're woodshedding. You're like,
do you record every show you do?
No.
Really?
No.
So what if you come up with something that you're like, wow,
that's shit.
I write it down.
Right away?
After I get off.
Even though the delivery and everything?
I
don't like to mimic my delivery. I like it to be...
spontaneous.
Organic every time.
I
know how it gets delivered.
Yeah.
But see, I record our shows just to learn. Just to like be like, okay, that worked, that didn't work, that worked.
I just know it from like sense memory. Like, okay, how I delivered it that time. And then I'll sort of keep that delivery.
Oh, okay.
Or I'll play around with it and see how it works. But I don't think
comic would just record themselves.
Right.
Some people
do. I do certain shows. But for most part, I know a lot of comics record every show. I don't.
Right.
I just don't want to mimic myself. I want it to be organic every time.
Okay, but okay, for musicians, like I'll go back and be like, dude, there's this groove or this riff or even this song that I wrote that I just forgot about. That's buried under all this other stuff that I'll just pull out and be like...
Well, I also know myself. I wouldn't go back and re-listen to myself. Anyway, so I was like, what's the point?
I'm just to like see if there's like any hidden gems that you haven't...
Because I'll remember after I get off the set, when the set's over, like, okay, that got a big laugh, and then I'll write down why I did, if I had to, but...
And this is the comic's life.
This isn't about me.
I'm just kidding. Us musicians, we just go straight to the bar and get blackout.
Yeah. Well, tell us your process. Do you road test your songs? I road test my songs.
I mean, I think if you... I don't think there is any other better place to see if a song works or doesn't work than, you know, in front of a live audience. Soundcheck is a great time to throw down some new ideas, especially with the band. But yeah, road testing, I mean, it doesn't get better than that. But, you know, in terms of the day-to-day knocking out songs, you know, for me it's more I start with ideas, maybe concepts, get a cool, like, little hook that I like melodically, and just try to get stuff down, maybe come back to it later. But, yeah, it just depends. You know, I'm definitely not – I usually don't start with lyrics. A lot of artists do. I'll start with a concept and then just kind of try to find a melody.
That's
and then,
how I am, then, too. Yeah, like, I'm not one of those guys like, I need to just write lyrics and then set it to music. Yeah. I've never been that guy.
And I've tried. It's just – it's a different process.
Yeah.
And it really comes down to the approach, you know. So.
Well, I love melody. Like, for me, I love melodies. Like, they can be singing in Spanish, and if it's a great melody, I'll just sit and listen and be like, wow. I don't even know what that means, but fuck, that's good. That's beautiful, you know? That's just like the way I listen to melodies. Like,
totally.
Sometimes I won't even discover the words of a record that's in English for months. Yeah. I just won't pay attention. Then I'll be like, damn, that's a good lyric. That's some good shit, man.
The best is when you had like a favorite song and that you were singing for so long and then you really realize what the words were. Like, you're like, oh my God.
That's so true.
That song is about a donkey show in Mexico.
Where are you playing out? I know you're touring like crazy. You're touring like it's a business.
Yeah. Like I said, 130 shows last year, 120 the year before.
You going to do that same amount this year?
I don't know. I'm trying not to.
He's like, I'm trying to retire by 32.
Yeah, I mean, in reality, just, you know, no is a powerful word, trying to exercise that one a little bit more. But, right, you know, it's hard. Like I said, you know, I mean, the independent music vibe, you know, you go so long and you've worked to build up this base. It's hard to say no to stuff that you, yep, in your mind work for. Like, of course I'll play there. Of course I'll do that. Yeah. Oh, you have $6 and a cheeseburger? You know, back in the day you'd say yes. Now it's like, all right. Nah. You just got to start thinking of the smarter plays. But,
and now you got a family, too.
Got a family.
Like, do I want to do that gig? Not so, man, sure.
But then there's the trade-off where I like to play live. I like, yeah, to do it. So, yeah, you know, it's the push and pull of all of it. But, yeah, you know, we'll tour this year again all over the nation. You know, we're looking at, you know, like I said, I'm doing that. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say it, actually. Crazy enough. And I've never pulled that card before, but I just realized.
Secret show.
Yeah. You know, we got a fun cruise that we're doing in a little while.
He may or may not be playing.
Yeah. Involved sororities. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. On a boat with sororities. Girls on a cruise ship.
Yeah, there's, yeah.
Stuck between a rock and a, yeah, hard place.
I know what the hard place is.
Yeah. Write that down, dude.
Dude, record that
record
shit, man.
You're never going to use it.
Yeah. Well, you didn't like the delivery? What? We weren't good enough on
it? It was a one-off.
Yeah, it was a one-off. Special. One of one.
Kelly James, real quick, tell us all your Twitter, social media, all that stuff. Where can people find you?
Yeah, I mean, you can just go to kellyjames.com, KelleyJames.com. You can get everything through there. Twitter, all the Instagram, and you know, check out my Friendster.
And you're gonna play another song. What are you gonna play?
All three of them.
All right, let's do one more. We got time for one more?
Yeah, we got
time. Set the stogie down.
Should we do a free? Yeah.
He really wants to light that up.
Now is like the lighting hour. You know? Just feeling.
I want to ruin this jacket.
Exactly.
What are you gonna play for us?
Well, you just want to do a freestyle instead of playing a song?
Sure. Improvise it on the spot.
Yeah.
I like that.
Let's do one like this. All right.
Oh, wait. Let's make it interesting.
Yeah.
Eddie, why don't you think of something that you want him to improvise on?
What do you mean?
He's going to write a song on the fly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what do you want a song to be about? Write it right now. I'm serious. It's not a joke. It's not an improv exercise.
Dude, you can go. I know. I am asking you because I know you could go out there.
Diaper pails.
Diaper pails. Okay.
Something you know of.
I like that.
From, you know, your newborn. Yeah. Right?
All right, Nikki, what do you think? Besides diaper pails, what else should we throw in there?
Panda bears. Want to see some crazy connection between...
Why panda bears?
I don't know. I just want to think of something that is not related to diaper pails. I don't think panda bears are related, really.
Diaper pails and panda bears.
Yeah.
Right. Those are two...
It's a crash dumb. Crash test dummy song.
Yeah,
I believe.
I think that was like a song in 1994 by some band from Portland that did that song.
Probably not. All right, this is On the Fly, Kelly James.
On the Fly. Give me a letter between A and G, one of you.
Go ahead, Eddie.
A and G, C.
C, all right. So the song will be in the C, in the key of C.
I like this.
You want to throw in another random chord in there?
Let's go...
C sharp diminished 14, 7,
no, I won't be rough on you. I'll give you an F. I'll give you an F.
F, all right.
Give you a four chord.
All right, there's a C, world. That's an F. All right, this is called Diaper Pails and Panda Bears. Yeah. Is that what it is?
Diaper Pails and Panda Bears.
Great.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
Here we go. I used to be around these girls. Oh, I never failed. But now my life consists of stuffed animals that are panda bears and diaper pails. I used to play sororities. Ooh, they all know my name. Now my life is full of stuffed panda bears and diaper pails. It'll drive me insane. Yeah. I wake up at 7:30 in the morning, even though I went to bed at 3, recording, doing what I do to keep food on the table and buy some extra things. Yes, you know I'm willing and able to buy you diapers, little boy, it's just for you. But back in like 2002, I used to be, ooh, S-H-I-T, that was me. I was the best on campus, yeah, BMC, and that was me. You know I flow, I would bust freestyles everywhere I would go, Midwest.
west to the east coast, down to the south. And now I'm just trying to put food in your mouth. Little boy, you make that noise all night long. Even though I like to see you sing you lullaby songs and play you chords and play the piano. And you only 6 months, so you don't know. And that's what I do it, yeah, without fail. You up at 5:30 a.m. diaper pails. I used to hang out with hot chicks. Oh, you know I never failed. Now my life at 5:30 a.m. is stuffed panda bears and diaper pails. Yeah, I used to tour the nation, or a little bit around the world, and hang out with all the girls. But now I'm diaper pails. Oh my God, my son just hurled. Little kids, they change your life in one night. When he comes into this world, everything that was wrong was right. And now you feel okay, no, you feel amazing. Even though you haven't slept in like 6 months, but you know you're not waiting for another moment to pass by. When you see your little boy come into the world, that makes you cry. Or your little girl, it doesn't matter what you have. You know you're glad, you always wanna be something more. You wanna be that dad who's around. But you know I gotta bounce around from town to town to make these sounds. Yeah, you know I throw it down and I'm on this mic here tonight, and I think it's a Wednesday night, but I don't really know, cause you know I got these single shows that go and make me bounce to and fro across the nation. And you know I don't get no vacation, and I'm waiting for the day when I can be grazing and just hanging by myself on a couch in LA, so I could just not go and get on an airplane here and stay in Southern California. Feel my vibes, yeah, you see. Or we could go over to China and be with some pandas who are endangered species. Make them stuff, no, 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 gotta protect them, you know we. And I'm changing diapers all night long, and you know trying to write these songs. And I got two things going on, but you know I never go again. And I'm on one tonight, and I'm feeling alright. So I say it once again, right here tonight. I used to hang out with girls every night. Yeah, you know I never failed. But now my life is full of panda bears and effing diaper pails. Oh, I used to tour around the world, say hello to every girl, you know. But now I'm talking about diaper pails and stuffed panda bears on LA Talk Radio.
Yeah, dude, that's not easy. I'm gonna top that one out.
There the greatest go. Thing ever done on this show.
That was fucking awesome.
You should write that down. All right, guys. Thank
Kelly
you very
James.
Much.
Thank
Give
you
it
so
one more time.
Wonderful
Kelly
guest.
James. KellyJames.com. KELLEY James.com. Check him out.
That's right.
Nikhil.
Eddie.
I'll see you later.
Thanks, boys.
Some coffee.